Good evening and welcome, dear ones. So wonderful to see each of your presences before us this evening and to feel your radiation among us, your radiation of goodness and interest. So we join this evening in affirming and remembering the divine light, life, and love that is in our midst. And always in our midst, and that there is grace and mercy for each of us to fulfill the destiny that is ours in particular. So we begin in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. So we begin our evening, as always, in a remembrance. And this evening's opening reflection comes from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, whose 88th birthday will be next week, July 6th. As I was reflecting back 20 years ago this spring, a small group from the Church of Conscious Harmony, at the invitation of His Holiness's brother, went to Dharamsala, India for His Holiness's annual teaching and were privileged to have a private audience with him. It was an extraordinary time. In one of the gift shops, there were cards with this inscription, a quote from him, which says, "Every day, think as you wake up. Today I am fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life. I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, and to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I am going to have kind thoughts towards others. I am not going to get angry or think badly about others. I am going to benefit others as much as I can." During the time of our private audience, His Holiness turned to us in all seriousness, spoke very pointedly. He said, "The religions of the world have failed humanity. It is now up to small groups like your own to work on behalf of all." And so it is with us, a rare privilege and important work that we have, small in our own way, but who knows what the effects are at large. That is God's work. We just do our own. So thank you to each one of you again for being here and intention and presence. A special note this evening is that we next week will take a restful midsummer pause, and there will be no class on Thursday evening, July 6th. His Holiness's birthday. Classes will resume then on July 13th. So now we prepare ourselves to remember our aim to become fully present, to quiet our state, asking our heart to hear what it is for us, to expand our heart out to others, to let go of fear, to risk. This matters to our very selves, for one another, and for the world. So we place ourselves with intention and immanent trust and receptivity to where we are, to the influences coming from the circle of conscious humanity. And we wish to be awake to them. to consciously receive them. With back upright, heart open, mind quiet, and directed attention. Body relaxed, noticing perhaps and then releasing any tension, constriction, resistance. We breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being. All being, everything. Everything that passed through us this day, our world today, everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy, all affirming, all denying, and we hold it as offering, reconciled as food for being. We lift it, ask that it all be transubstantiated in our being, as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God, as we ourselves are beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans. I hand over all anxieties and small fears of my heart. I open to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. Now we enter into our time of Lectio Divina. And we will share a reading which will be read three times. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the capstone. Through Christ, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We each and all together are responsible for what gives the community and our work its quality, lucidity. Like a chain of beings seeking to be more conscious, whose efforts assist one another, each joining the chain to find their place. By attitude and action, each either maintains and vivifies the chain at the place of their link, or falls away and no longer participates. The more the concentration is conscious, the greater the force of attraction. We are co-creating for tomorrow, for the future. When we live an intentional relationship to the divine mystery, knowing God in ourselves and ourselves in God, then we will have discovered the meaning of a human life, and we will have given our gift to the world. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the capstone. Through Christ, the whole structure is being held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We each and all together are responsible for what gives the community and our work its quality, lucidity. Like a chain of beings seeking to be more conscious, whose efforts assist one another, each joining the chain to find their place. By attitude and action, each other maintains and vivifies the chain at the place of their link, or falls away and no longer participates. The more the concentration is conscious, the greater the force of attraction. We are co-creating for tomorrow, for the future. When we live an intentional relationship to the divine mystery, knowing God in ourselves and ourselves in God, then we will have discovered the meaning of a human life, and we will have given our gift to the world. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the capstone. Through Christ, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We each and all together are responsible for what gives a community and our work its quality, lucidity. Like a chain of beings seeking to be more conscious, whose efforts assist one another, each joining the chain to find their place. By attitude and action, each either maintains and vivifies the chain at the place of their link, or falls away and no longer participates. The more the concentration is conscious, the greater the force of attraction. We are co-creating for tomorrow, for the future. When we live in intentional relationship to the divine mystery, knowing God in ourselves and ourselves in God, then we will have discovered the meaning of a human life, and we will have given our gift to the world. May it be so for us. Amen. You are now invited to share the gift that you received, and in so doing, you will bless all of us. Jeannie, good evening.
Good evening, Marianne and everyone. What struck me was the way the image fortified the message of built together into a dwelling place for God, because I have stood with other people where we have that gesture, and there is this real sense of the energy and joining together. Vivifying the chain. I was really touched by this and thinking in contrast to the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
This is a dwelling place and with intentional energies to relate to the divine mystery. So I was just really struck by that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. David, good evening.
Good evening, Marianne and everyone. You know, what I was hearing is how is this temple, or, you know, this chain of being, how is it built? And in the early part of the reading, it refers to through Christ, the whole structure is built and held together. And then later on, the phrase that really caught my attention was the more the concentration is conscious, the greater the attraction. And it reminded me of what's said in the commentaries or explained about the work, you know, focusing on raising our consciousness rather than focusing on love, mm-hmm. or being more loving. But, you know, in my experience, I really find that the two go together, and one can't be without the other, which kind of takes us back to last week's topic, of course, of conscious love.
Yes.
But this, you know, it's through Christ in me and in all of us that we are building each other's consciousness up to higher levels of being, seems to me, at least that's the way I experience it. And yeah, there's this force of attraction, like Ilya teaches about love is, you know, like gravity. It's this force of attraction that draws particles together, kind of like us.
Yes.
Being all drawn together into that that mystical body we hear about.
Indeed. Thank you, David. That's beautiful. Thank you. Steve, good evening.
Good evening. I was struck by the image of the women in interlocking arms, almost like a dance. And these two ways of being are order ego, our inward self, and then playing a role, as Jean Saltzman talks about, playing a role in life, using your what you have to offer, so to speak, being very aware that that's that personality, that aspect of you that encompasses your essence, that personality is attached to a lot of other things, lower eyes and all of that. So you try to raise up that best self and contribute as a link in the chain, aware that everyone else is trying to do the same thing, attached to the same ball and chain of their false self system. And so how you do this dance of ordering yourself with inside and then playing a role on the outside, that is your higher self. So that's quite a challenge, but that's what kind of adds to the complexity and heft of the work.
Absolutely. The cosmic dance. Thank you. So Marcia, good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Marianne. Hello, everyone. I was too struck by the image. One of the words that goes with it, and I love how you superimpose the words over the image. It made it just very beautiful and perfect. When I read it this morning, and when I saw that image first, I saw maybe three women. I saw everyone at the Church of Conscious Harmony holding hands before the pandemic, when we could, you know, I have emphysema, so I'm not going close to people now at all. But, you know, when we weren't afraid of other people, like we became afraid during COVID. And what I really loved was the sentence, like a chain of being seeking to be more conscious, whose efforts assist one another. And what I think, though, is we are not like a chain of being. We are a chain of being at the Church of Conscious Harmony. And that's enough words about it. It feels beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
I can feel into that. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you. So we have Jill and Lisa and Catherine, if we could be very, very brief. And then we'll close this part.
I heard by attitude and action, we either vivify our place in the chain or we fall away. And today I had this opportunity where a coworker that I'm out against left me with even more patients than I already had to see after a very full morning. And I've really been working on this account. And I saw the most beautiful people this afternoon. And I was so full of joy. And it came to me during this reading that I get to. I wish I can work, and not everybody can. And what a gift it was to be blessed with a change of attitude, a change of heart, and to connect that with vivifying this change. So I'm most grateful.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Jill. And Lisa, good evening.
Good evening, and hello, everyone. Great to be present with you. I'm on the road, and I'm just so delighted to find an internet connection and a battery at the same time. And with that said, the timing of this is so perfect in my travels, because my work partner has went to England, and I've been camping and on the road in the mountains without a cell phone. And it's been very powerful to see this, the intention that we're both making, even in another country, and me being on the road with no cell service. And my journey group, there are two women in my group who are in the same state that I am at this certain time of the summer. And so we're all getting together in a few days. And just, it's a feeling, a sense of being held in that thread that the work is offering. And every day I make some effort to stay connected to the work. And so just in travels and noticing how easy it would be to fall away and how tempted I am. And it's not perfect, but I can feel the essence of the work working for me. And it's a powerful mystical experience.
Thank you, Lisa. I could feel the truth of your sharing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's vivifying indeed. And Catherine, we'll close our part with you. Thank you.
I really like the last paragraph, when we live in intentional relationship to the divine and we get to know God in ourselves and ourselves in God. We will have discerned the meaning of a human life, and we'll have been given our gift to the world. And I was like, wow, I don't really need to figure out what my gift is, but if I can just keep doing the practices and doing all this stuff that I'm learning, that I'll know the meaning, I'll have a meaningful life, and will be giving my gift to the world. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a relief. So I wrote that down.
Wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Catherine. And that is a perfect lead-in to the rest of our evening. It is my joy at this time to introduce Sharon Johnson, who is going to accompany us in our journey deeper into remembering others. Welcome and good evening, Sharon.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Well, it's my joy to be here as well. The last time I tried this, I had no electricity, so I'm really impressed that I have electricity and internet, so that's fantastic. Deborah was so beautiful last week. I hope that everyone got to see her presentation, and the topic of what I like to call consciously chosen love, not just conscious love, but consciously chosen, because it feels like there is a choice sometimes in the midst of things. Sometimes we don't have a choice, or at least we don't think we do. And so I will have my friend Mark Russell place the homework up on the screen, and just to remind us of what it was, I hope everyone was doing their due diligence. So there is the Tetragrammatron, which is a really beautiful symbol. It's a little bit white on the screen, but you get the idea. So the first point on the homework was slowly, prayerfully, over the next week, read what are known as the Last Supper discourses. And we were asked what comes to meet us. And then to write what conscious love means to us in our own words, and specifically as it is applied to our own lives, to share it with their journey groups, maybe our work partner, and maybe even this evening. So, and, you know, with yourself, which is the best part is that we get to do Lexia with ourselves, with our pieces of writing. So I'll open the floor for sharing about our last week's homework. And I hate to call it homework because it's really an exploration, but that's kind of the tradition called homework. So I'll take it to Karen Raglan, who has her hand up. Good evening, Karen.
Hi, good evening. So I'm going to read one of the lines in the email. Perhaps one way of conveying this mystery with words is that it is Christ in me that loves. That was profound for me. I have felt for a very long time like I don't know what love is. I mean, I feel God's love for me, and I can feel one with that love even, and I know I've got like the love with my daughter. But in terms of others, I have never felt like I know how to do that. I don't know what that love is. And this one line, there's reassurance in that. It's kind of like what Catherine just shared. There's reassurance in that I don't have to figure it out. And the ones that were trying to figure it out or even beaten up on themselves for not knowing it after all this time, that was the multiplicity. That was personality. So, of course, personality is not going to know how to love. And that's who was trying to figure it out. So the reassurance here is keep doing my work. Keep working on making personality passive, and it'll come.
That's beautiful, Erin. Thank you. Jackie, my friend.
Well, I'm going to report on what conscious love is to me. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you perfectly. Thank you. It's nice Excellent. To hear your voice.
Thank you. Conscious love to me is being present to others and remembering my aim of being love to them. I went on a day trip recently with two sisters and a 12-year-old niece and knew I would be sharing the back seat with her. I felt fear over the idea of being with her as her mother described her as going through her preteen mood. Knowing in the recent past that she would have had this dead look in her eyes and disappear into her room when there were nothing but adults around. I prayed prior to our trip, asking God to help me be love to her and my sisters. I made effort to be present with her while I listened to her with love and no judgment. There were times I wanted to chime in with what I thought would be funny, but the question that came to me before I said it was, is this love? Right away, inner taste alerted me of the sarcasm that was behind the statement I thought would be funny. I was able to relax and enjoy the light and delight in my niece's eyes as she joined in our conversations, especially when we passed Alexis. She's in love with Lexis. She saw them well before we even knew they were around. I was grateful that I was able to just smile, having fun with her, and to remember my aim to be love. She was totally relaxed and joined in happily with all of us. And then from the Lexio Divina tonight, this phrase jumped out at me. The more the concentration is conscious, the greater the force of attraction. And I saw that between me and my niece. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, we had the conversation in our journey group this week about, you know, when we're with others that don't have the same tools that we do, we work on their behalf as well. And I heard that in your sharing. Thank you. Elizabeth, nice to see you.
Thank you. I'll just share the journaling reflection that I did, that I shared with my journey group also. What does unconditional love mean? It means living from the knowledge that what will matter in the end is the love I gave, not the love I received. That I love to share, not to get. Learning to love despite no acknowledgement or appreciation, or without seeing immediate fruits. To love myself as an equal to others. It is only if one has transcended the world that one can afford to wholeheartedly engage the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Only the heart of God can love the world without falling into its corruption. Seek the heart of God, not to disappear into it as some systems teach, but to love the world. Thank you.
Well, I think we have time for, oh, there's Bob. Hi, Bob. Come on and unmute.
Yeah, I just want to speak briefly about reading those chapters in John. What I was struck with was the number of times as Jesus is talking with his disciples that he reminds them that he's in God, the Father's in him, they're in him, they're in God. Anyway, just the repetition, the reminder of the union that is there if we are awakened and attuned to it. I'm just really, I've always been just startled by that every time I read that. And if you haven't seen that, go back and read that, because it's there. It says very clearly that we are in union with the divine mystery. Amen.
Amen. I heard in what you were just saying, Father Keating saying, we're swimming in God. I just love that. We can't not be with God or in God. We're swimming in it. You know, so it's fantastic. And the interpenetration of each of us, even because if we are Christ lovers and we have Christ within us, Christ is interpenetrating everything if we're aware of it, aren't we? Very beautiful. Oh, we've got Jim. Thank you, Jim.
Good evening. Yeah, I found the same the same truth as Bob in the discourses of us being in Christ and Christ being in us. And then beyond that, that Christ is in others as he is in us and as he is in the Father. So it seemed to me that conscious love is often actually seeing the face of Christ in another person who is in Christ, you know, whether they know it or not, and being willing to acknowledge that, and let that draw us closer to them, rather than let what is dividing us, keeping us separate.
Thank you. James, Jim, hi.
Hi, Sharon. Hello, everyone. I just wanted to share one blessing I received from the work this week. One of the things that Deborah said last week around conscious love that stood out to me was just having the most generous interpretation of someone's actions. And in my professional life, I take care of children. And for me, the most difficult part of my job is dealing with the parents. And, you know, there are things, there are judgments that I have around parents projecting their anxieties onto the children and making my job harder. Or, you know, they've researched something on the internet, or their second cousin's neighbor told them about this, that we should do something differently and all these things. And so I have this inner resistance towards a lot of those encounters. And this week, I really, talking about action and attitude from reading this today, I really went in with an intention to have a positive attitude and to really have the most generous, interpretation of people's responses and thoughts and what they would say. And I could see how a lot of times, you know, the parents, when they come in, they've had trauma from experiences in the past. They have their own reasons for being fearful. And I started to have just a lot more genuine compassion for that. And that just made me a lot more patient on the inside with the parents. And I started to understand that they're not trying to intentionally make things more difficult. They're genuinely unsure about things. And so, I could just feel a couple things from that. One is I could feel that as the week went on, there was more of the energy reciprocated back to me than usual. There was just this more back and forth balance of this loving energy between people throughout the week. And I realized how much force I conserved. I look back on previous weeks and I realized how much useless suffering I was doing to myself and how much I was just leaking force all the time. And so I feel like I'm coming out of the week with more force, more energy, and more open-heartedness. And I was really grateful for that teaching on conscious love. So, thank you.
Thank you. I heard generosity and gratitude in that, and external consideration.
Mm. Thank you.
Well, unless there's one more person that would like to speak, I'm going to move right on. Oh, who's that? There's Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hello, Miss Sharon. Can you hear me? Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I so appreciated the readings in John, and we read little pieces, and it was just so wonderful to see this all together, this whole discourse, and it was all so beautiful. But I was really stopped in my tracks in John 13, and I think it said something like, Christ was with them until the end, and he loved them until the end. And then they have the foot washing ceremony right after that. And, you know, someone from my journey group reminded me that, you know, the feet were the things that nobody touched, not even the servants. I mean, that was just beneath contempt. And here was Christ facing this unspeakable horror in front of him of torture and humiliation. And instead of freaking out about that, he loved them and he served them in a profound way and was present to them. And it was just so touching. And I had an opportunity this week to be with a group of people and love them until the end. And it was a farewell gathering for myself and with my colleagues at Dell. And I got to love them. I just got to love each one and feel it in my heart, in my body, and look them in the eye and tell them how much I love them and how unique and special they each were and how they've blessed me. And just such an incredible gift when we can participate that way. And I can't say enough about the graces I received from the scripture. Thank you.
Thank you all for your sharings, and we'll just take a deep breath and let that kind of drop in, all of the ways that we see conscious love in our lives and all around us, and especially in this community. And that is my wondrous topic this evening, conscious community, and have been really pondering what that really means. And I've been at the Church of Conscious Harmony for 26 years now, and my magnetic center brought me here. Well, and a little nudge from Frank Ivey, but you know, other than that, my magnetic center brought me here. And it felt, my heart felt something true and something that was needed in my life. And when I first started coming, I was a little reticent, but there was just something so profound for me that I knew that I was captured. And maybe you have a story like that too, where you come and you're like, well, we're ruined for the rest of our lives, right? We can't know, we can't not see what we've seen, and we can't not feel what we felt when we throw our heart out and follow it. And so I just wanted to introduce that message to you, that when I first got here, we were at Sri Atmananda, and it was such a sweet little contained community. And then we built the church and we came over here, and I wasn't the one of the originals, but I got here as quick as I could. Never have left, because there's something within me that desires the community, desires the feeding that I get here, desires to be around people who want to make God devotion the center of their life and live as a monk in without the monastery walls. That all was beautiful, but I better put my and up here, remind myself to say and, there we go. And that the work has saved my life, I believe, in many ways. And so I come to you as one of you that has been on the journey for a really long time and has dipped her toes in just about, I think, everything that we have to offer at CCH. And so I would like to say a word about that. The center of our community is God. And on the outside rim of that is the Eucharist. And on the outside of that are the ministers and the board and the staff. And on the outside, that it just keeps getting bigger. And when we have the Seva teams and godly play, and yes, and the scriptorium and the mark and all of the many ways that we're served. And then on the outside of that, we have all kinds of other groupings, don't we? And we have the groups, the small groups, the work partners, the journey school. And there's all kinds of levels to it. So it's like you can see it kind of blossoming out, or at least I can in my mind's eye. And so it just keeps going. And then there's the wider rim where we have connections with Contemplative Outreach and Richard Rohr's community and Ilya Delio and Cynthia Bergeau and many, many others. And over the years, the Praxis Center and all sorts of other ways that we have reciprocal maintenance of being able to bring in things in into the community, books that feed us and speakers that bring their beings, like Bernadette Roberts and many others. And so we have been fed so well over the many years. And those of you that are new, coming in and new, you come in and the soil is already been toiled a bit and dug up and whatever, and welcome. Step in, make this community yours. It's my first thought and admonition. And last week, Deborah spoke about a parable that's one of my favorites in Godly Play. It's called The Parable of the Deep Well. Now, it's not in the Bible, but it is a very old, ancient parable. And it goes like this. We put it in a desert box because we have a little piece of desert in the Gali playrooms. And a person's walking across the desert. And we say, well, you know, no one goes into the desert unless they really have to. You can feel that, can't you? And not unless we have to, we're drawn into it because we must. And then they see all of these golden strings lying about. And they go, what are these for? And then they see a well. And then they start to tie the strings together. And they're like, but there's nothing to get the water out. And they find a bucket. And they tie it together. And so it's a simple parable, simple movements that you're doing. You dip that bucket down into the deep well and you bring up this beautiful, clear water. And if we know anything about esoteric language, it's truth. And the favorite part for me is what's at the end of the parable. And that is, now, do you leave all of the strings tied together on the bucket for the next person? Or do you go and strew out those strings again and let them find them themselves? And that has always fascinated me, because that feels like what is so rich and so it feeds us is that we go on this search and we're like, ooh, and then there's this book, and then there's this teaching, and there's this class, and then there's the group, and oh, there's work partners, and you know, and we tie those strings together for ourselves to find our way into our journey, our personal journeys. And each of us is making a personal journey. And that, for me, I saw my work immediately as I came into the church and into the work and centering prayer relaxed my nervous system enough that I could actually heal the wounds of a lifetime, as many of us have. And then the work got in there and started to lift me and has rearranged my house, as the Lexio was talking about, rearranged my rooms, cleaned out the corners of the cobwebs and the boxes of things that had not been gone through. And now there's pictures and it's nice and clean, and there's probably still places I'll be finding. So that's the beauty of the work. So there's many analogies about groups like ours, the Journey School, the small groups in other communities. And one of those Tim really would talk about a lot, and that is that we're like a vessel, like a ship. And it's kind of through Teilhard Chardin talks about it, Meditations on the Trove talks about it, J.J. Bennett talks about it, but in an essence, these ships, the question always comes to the fore that, are we passengers or are we crew members? And that is a deep question, because I'm just on a journey. I get on the boat and everybody's taking me along, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we become a crew member, there might be something new that we, so this has really been a personal thing for me. It's like, if I get in there and get involved in something at the church or in the groups, now I have some skin in the game, as Tim Cook would say, skin in the game. And that means I'm now moving in a deeper level. I'm not just kind of on the outskirts looking in and going, wow, this is really cool. I've now stepped my feet into it. So before I get too far down that road, I would like to read something that Tim wrote, or spoke actually in 2007. If I can find it here. He said, the Church of Conscious Harmony has within it, I put in brackets, the Journey School now, it was previously the 10th Man School. This exists like all creation exists, from centers, And this is the conscious core of the church, from the Eucharist in the center, the board, the school, out into the church, the community, and then the world at large. The influence radiates. We are participants in a living organism of which the school is the heart. And when the school hums, it manifests out into our families and the families of people who come here or visit here on Zoom more casually than perhaps we do. And they become serious because we become serious about this journey. He then said, the rescue mission has already come. I'm on board. I thought that was quite good. There's that vessel, the ship again. And at some time, I think it also was referred to as a spaceship because we're starting to get a little faster. We all start coming into the work and to the centering prayer. Everything starts to speed up. We don't have to use as much fuel. It's a little more efficient. So in the past few weeks, we explored first, second, third line of the work and externally considering, and then consciously chosen love last week. The first, second, third lines of the work build the accumulator for the vessel, which feeds the whole. So as we do our individual work, each cell and each passenger or crew member on the ship does their work, it accumulates and it creates something, something tangible, something otherworldly, really. There's not a lot of words that I can explain that with, but there's something felt, a visceral experience for me. He also said, it is a school of the fourth way, the way of love. And that kind of has emanated out from the core all the way out to the outside. He wanted to expand the center, and I believe we are doing that now. We've gotten people from all over the place now that have joined in. Their magnetic centers have brought them to this school. I know that a higher energy is within me and you, and we can ask for help in order to unite all the forces. Lord, have mercy. So I'd like Mark to put up the next slide. I found this image, the triple cross, and the meditations on the trail, and I wondered about it. It's something that the Pope carries, but beyond that, I found this in the meditations on the Trow about this three levels of neighbors, which I thought had a lot to do with our last week's work, but then also our community. The lower neighbor being nature, purification and divine fire. I just think that's really pretty fascinating, and it's our work, the purification of the emotional center and our lower natures. The equal neighbor, the human illumination and divine light, when we start to feel the other, and that builds something new and different within us and without us. And the higher neighbor, beings of the spiritual hierarchies, the purification of the divine breath. I love that. The breath, the divine breath breathing us. And the idea that ora et labora, pray and work. And then a word from Rodney Collin. The work is to give in proportion to what one has, to give in proportion to what one understands. As an isolated cell, one can give nothing because one has nothing. As a cell already incorporated in a higher organism, as in this school and the groups, one can give all one wants to, certain that whatever one gives, one will recuperate from the unlimited reserves of the whole. I find that a very interesting statement because I really feel like when we're together, there's something that happens that opens us up to that higher, the higher forces, the higher energy, and we can maybe see with the eyes of Christ and hear with the eyes, the ears of Christ, like the Grail prayer, and my hands and my feet and my heart, I can love as Christ loves in a group when we're all humming together. And so go ahead and move to the next image, Mark. Thank you. I love this image. And when I read this, this is from the Sevenfold Work, J.G. Bennett, who I just think is an amazing person and in the work. The sacred image is really of a reality of a community and carries the higher energies concentrated by the inner work and sufferings of generations. This is made present in the congregation. But there is something more, something invisible. The hidden presence of higher beings, such as angels and saints, spoken of in the Christian and Islamic liturgies, and I would say also the Jewish liturgies. The coalescence of the sacred image, the congregation, and I bracketed the Journey School, and the heavenly host and communion of saints is the heart of the mystery, and it comes when it is allowed, when we are receptive. And there wasn't a lot written on community, but I found in his Sevenfold Work, he said the word community is left undefined, for it is not intended strictly to confine this to the immediate community of living persons. And so this brought me to these saints and the community of our beloveds who've gone on. You know, and so it spreads out as those stars represent to me all of that emanation from Christ to us, from us to Christ, and to the heavenly bodies. And that reciprocity is, again, very hopeful and graceful. We don't understand all of it, but we can feel something very deep and profound when we either imagine it or look upon an image like this. And then you can move to the next slide. I love this piece. This was one of my friends who's now long gone, one of his dot pieces, which I find very beautiful. And this is a quote from Valentin Tonberg from Meditations on the Tarot. One should know, dear unknown friend, that one never prays alone, as in that there are always others above or in the past on earth who pray with you in the same sense, in the same spirit, and even in the same words. In praying, you always represent a visible or invisible community together with you. And so in this idea of our community, doing our practice, sitting in that mystical silence, that something is being emanated from us possibly and brought in and illuminating us. Because when we're not negative, the angels can minister to us. They can't breathe around us. Tonberg tells us about the breathing rates of the angels coming from the spheres. And when there's negativity, they can't come near. And so it behooves us to do our work. That aphorism, I have a right not to be negative. But it really puts a stamp on it that maybe I could ask for help in those moments when I can't get out of my negativity, so that the rope gets lowered so I can actually reach it. And you can move to the next slide. This is from The Reality of Being, which is our community reading. There's the community again, and hopefully we're all partaking in Madame de Salzman. She is one of those rare people that have a way of communicating her inner world on paper in words, which is very difficult to do, I think. And you can feel her through the presence of the words, like Thich Nhat Hanh says, I am on this page and so are you. So I connect with her on those words on the page. And here's a beautiful word, a little reading from her about the group. The fact that we are together creates a possibility of consciousness. What we engage, what we give is more important than what we wish to take. And maybe we hadn't thought about how we come to take many times. Each time the possibility is renewed, we have the opportunity to engage our attention and to serve. This possibility is something great that we must strive to maintain. We have to look at it as precious, as sacred. I am not alone in my work, and neither are you. When I decide something for myself, I have to feel my belonging to the group. Its life is greater than my own, and it represents something more on the scale of higher being. So when we just take those words in and think about the possibility and the sacredness and the preciousness of our little bit of time, our little blip on this screen of life, and what we're willing to pay and what we're willing to do for, and you know, throwing our heart into it and working as though our house is on fire, because it is. And to really see that, I love this image of the shimmering, because that's that web that we're in. And when I shimmer, I reverberate. And you might feel that. And I believe that you do. And when other people are having a moment, we think of them. And that changes everything. It's said that when I think of someone in my mind, and my brain neurons are now connected to theirs, and they are here with me, whether they're here or not on this planet. You can go ahead and move to the next one. And I just love me some Beryl Pogson and Maurice Nicolin. I hope you do too. What beings. And in Mind and Energy, Beryl says, energy is not wasted. It can be used. There is the general accumulator. You have to work for it. If you have a little yourself, then you can get more. You may have a great desire, then you may receive something. You may have worked. You must have a cup in which to receive. And so much of the work is about making this cup. And we've heard this many times about our cup, our vessel, and is it full and unable to take in and receive anything? What is your cup? Do you gain force and then you slosh it all day long and it's got a crack on the side and the water's dripping out? And I have used this image so many times in my day as I'm walking through my day and I'm like, I am leaking force everywhere. Let me come back to center. Let me collect myself. Let me still my hands. Let me still my insides so I can walk smoothly, gracefully through life and preserve my force and use it for what I wish to use it on. And then from the same book, it is a mystery. All energy offered by people, either as individuals or groups, can be used by a higher level. We've heard this talked about as feeding the angels and archangels. It is for the use of conscious humanity in the name of peace. That is why there is almost continuous prayer all over the world, because the world must be covered by a canopy of energy for its protection and development. And can you move to the next slide, please? So I had to include the Gurdjieff movements in here because it's one of my loves. And before I got into school, I saw Meetings with Remarkable Men, and I saw that whole section where he goes down into the caves. And I went, I want to do that. I want to do that. And when I entered the 10th med school, you had to wait 6 months to get into the movements. And at that time it was mandatory, which I didn't care. I wanted in, you know, I wanted to do the movements. And I remember standing at the door when I got initiated into it, but then also the first day of movements, I had this point in my work where I was standing at the door to go in, and I thought, everything I've ever done has led me to this door. And so if you haven't tried movements somewhere, maybe some of you are out of town, maybe you can find some movements close by you, but if you haven't tried, it's just, it's otherworldly. And I love this photo. It's really of the Sufi dancers and the energy that they're creating. It's coming off of their prayer. And that's how I look at movements. I have had this big wish to pray the movements more so that I can be the three-centered being that I could possibly be, to really put that on and put it in motion and put it to test, to verify for myself. And I feel myself in movements. I feel the three centers. Anyway, so this quote is from the Sevenfold Work, and he tells us a little bit about movements are first of all for developing our own powers. They require effort. Yes, they do. They are a powerful means of self-observation. Yes, they are. They help us coordinate our centers and transform energies. Secondly, the movements are done for the sake of others, that is, manifestation. They have a magnetic effect on people. Next time we have movements, if you're in the area, come and watch. Take it in. Marianne sits at the front of our movements class religiously, and I thank her for that. That is valuation. People are attracted to the work through them. They give us a taste of something that is possible. Thirdly, the movements can be done purely as an act of worship. The movement becomes free in us. Something happens inside us that starts having a respect for the movement, a reverence. Free from self-love and vanity and so on, we must be empty of ourselves and yet have the utmost mastery of the movement itself. We come to the reverence for the movement itself as a sacred reality. This is the spiritual work that Gurdjieff left us, and Madame de Salzman and Thomas de Hartmann left us. And you can put the next slide up. This is close to my heart, a way to participate in some manner by either being a participant in the audience or in the play itself, in the music, in the tech of it. The Glorious Impossible, which is sacred community theater. It's a beautiful interactive theater where you're not just sitting there watching a pageant or a play. It's not that. We're watching ourselves. We're watching history on the stage, and we're watching the movements, and we're watching the dance, and we're watching the shepherds and the Christ child and the nature spirits and all of the rest. And it's a way of participating in community. So please, if you haven't come to See Glorious Impossible, maybe this year will be the year. If you haven't been in the Glorious Impossible, is a blessing. And it's a blessing, and we are all blessed from our participation. And you can go to the next slide, because it also has to do with, of course, they were on one slide and they got separated. But the beauty and the dance and the people that are putting themselves in that place of the archetypes, I am forever grateful for my participation over the years being in it, and then being handed over from Don and Deborah to direct it, and I am blessed, truly. And you can move it to the next slide. This is one of my favorite people. He was a student of Gurdjieff and a contemporary, and he broke off from the foundation after Gurdjieff died, and he has a lot of wisdom. His name is Nyland, and so there are lots of Nyland groups around the country. But I liked this blessing that he gives to one of his groups, and I thought it might be a beautiful thing to just hear that out loud. I wish you good work. I wish you development. I wish you increased numbers of group members so that the difficulty of having differences of opinions are a little bit ironed out, because there is a variety of new material flowing in. After all, the group should be a representation of a person in all their capacities. And the more multitudinous a person can be, the more they can have facets to the rest of the world. The more complete such a person could be, even in ordinary life. I hope you'll have aliveness in your groups. Persist and have patience. It is not easy, but it is rewarding if you really wish to find out. So I've left some time because I would like to hear any feedback that you might have about anything that you saw. Maybe you have a question about something, or maybe you just were open to something that you hadn't thought of before in our community. I have a question. What do you want? What do you want in this community? This is your community. This is your school. And so many of us have stepped up in many beautiful ways, and I know you're blessed from that. But some of us are just kind of reticent, maybe, or shy to step in. And I just keep asking, what do you want? What do you want this experience to be? How much are you willing to jump in? Does anyone have anything that came up? I can't believe I've silenced everyone. Melba, hi.
Hello. Thank you so much. This is so informative and enlightening. That question about what do I want? At first, I was going to say, I'm full. I've jumped in. And, you know, I mentioned this before retreat, how what I loved and what attracts me to the Church of Conscious Harmony is the way that everything is done. Throughout the world, there are services, and, you know, I've been a part of them, but what I noticed was the way that things were done. Everything had I didn't know at the time, but it was a consciousness and energy that I found like stunning, and I still do, you know, even at the retreat, the way everything was done, from the little things to the grander gestures. But when you said, what do you want? I just want to say thank you, number one. Thank you, God, because I feel like what a lucky thing that I thought I was helping a friend get to know a church she wanted to. And, you know, the fact that I just followed my heart. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to participate and see all these concepts at work, really those energies be enacted or fulfilled with a consciousness, a movement, a quality, that vivacious quality. And so what I really want now is to, after a year of being a part of this glorious, impossibly glorious group, I want to be a part of that play. And I also want to see ways that we could connect the dots, because seeing that last image that you had, I saw us doing the movements at the women's prison, you know, that energy. I want everybody to experience even the way that service is done, and a fellowship dinner, or not, it's not dinner, it's breakfast, where everything seems to be in, have a momentum. I get a thrill. I get infused, and it's because of the consciousness. So as a member of the church, I feel like connecting the dots, using the Gurdjieff movements in, because there's a power there that I have never experienced, and I want to share it with the world. And one of the things, and Peter inspires me, you know, when he gave that sermon about, you know, the prisons, I have really been wondering, how do we connect CCH with some of that, you know, service work, so that, you know, to experience the movements is like going to church. I mean, even doing a pilgrimage. My friend that saw it had that experience. He wants to be a part of the church so he can be a part of the movements now, because that's how. And I watch the video at least once a week now, because I know that there's a genius, a mysticism about the movement and having to surrender yourself and trying to utilize the work, and even just participating is work, but it brings out the best in people. So I just want to connect the dots.
Thank you. And Jim? I think we'll be, and Howard, okay. Then we'll have to stop at that, because I think it's almost time to be handing back over to Marianne. So Jim, if you can make it quick, that would be great. Yeah.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for sharing your gifts this evening. I was struck by how you talked about how God is at the center of our community, and then kind of outward the Eucharist and ministry and board. And I was wondering if you could just say a few words about what the Eucharist means to you and how the Eucharist is central to conscious community that we've been speaking about.
Well, sure. I would say that for me, the Eucharist is the heart of it. It's the very core of our church. Everything revolves around the Eucharist, because the more I take that in, as Father Keating says in Mystery of Christ, the more I take that Eucharist in, the more I become the Eucharist. I am then the Eucharist out in the world, and it's cumulative. There's all the ways that it's revealed through scripture, and then, you know, the prayer, and then the actual blessing of the Eucharist. And then it goes into my cells, and I digest that, and I become that. I become that bread and wine that is the body and the blood of Christ. So I really, it's very important to me to be close to the Eucharist and to serve the Eucharist as I like to do. But I think that it is so mystical that it's really hard to get all the words around it, but it is really an important thing in my life. I'll just say that. So Howard, go ahead. Thank you, Jim.
So yes, just wanted to say that, you know, everything you talked about really resonated with me. And some of the things that came to me was working like my hair's on fire, and I have a right not to be negative. And all the readings that you included in there from Bennett really, you know, it's almost like kind of stirred the fire in me a little bit more again. And that's, you know, when you said, what do I want? That's what I thought of is, you know, I want to remember that. I want to continue to have that kind of energy I feel when I do remember, when I really, it's actually when I'm self-remembering, and just continue that.
May it be so.
Yeah, Jack. That consciousness. Yeah, that consciousness.
Thank you so much, Howard. Jack, can you be real quick? Because Marianne's looking at me.
Yeah, okay. So I got this today. And last week, there's something called OneDrive on whatever the Microsoft thing is. I also got a video that I had posted in 2004 of the movements, the original movements demonstration. There were 60 of us in the fellowship hall. There were 8 files. And they're board members. I mean, there's just so many beautiful souls in there that have come and gone. And one drive, one heart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Marianne, you made an appearance in Nella's book. You're in the group picture that she posted in there of the CCH group. And it's really beautiful. So thank you all for your love. And I feel all of you praying me through this whole evening. And I appreciate that. The spirit has been twisting me around this week. And I'm really grateful for what came out. So thank you so much. And may we all remember that we are in a community and we can always count on each other. That if I'm not doing my practice, somebody else is, and I can remember that and do my practice. If I'm kind of crazy on a day, somebody else is not, one of my work friends is not, so I can call them. So just remember that you are in a group and you are held and you are loved. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon, for your being, for your many gifts, for all these years and all of the ways that you just suit up and keep saying yes and yes and yes. You are a testament to the fruits of yes. So I honor you and thank you. So let us close by joining together and affirming the truth of this prayer of God's love, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.